Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I find it quite fascinating to consider the situation now with BRICS. We see China, certainly South Africa, not condemning the attack by Iran. Iran is saying it will strike again with greater force if Israel or the US retaliate. Don't forget Tehran. Iran has been, in fact, attacking Israel every single day for the last 6 months, either through Hezbollah, through the Houthis, and of course a very, very strong indication that they have assisted Hamas with the October 7th attack. So, of course, this is slightly disingenuous, which everybody knows. Iran, of course, not a democracy, known for its abuse of women, for its abominable human rights record, the way it treats women, the way it treats gay people, the way it denies freedom of speech. So how does this now link and how does this impact BRICS? Professor Theo Venter, he's a professor of practice at the College of Business and Economics at the University of Johannesburg. He's a political and policy analyst. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Fine and good to hear from you. Yes, we are living in very, very interesting times and we are witnessing things that sometimes is difficult to connect the dots. And I think people too often are too quick to connect the dots. And we suffer a little bit of what I would call overanalysis. But let's take this one step by step and see where we get with it.
Okay, so it's fascinating you say that, and I do think that we're guilty of that because we kind of see the world through the eyes or through the glasses of our own narratives. But let's look at this. Let's look at these events. Let's take a look at Iran and their behavior on the their domestic and international front, and how that connects to their partners at BRICS, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, let's just start with the most recent events. If you look, or if you take military strategy, the first component of any military strategy is the element of surprise. You don't want to signal an attack. You don't want to attack once you have informed the opponent that, listen, guys, you must be ready. I'm coming. Now, let's go to Iran. Iran did exactly this with the recent attack on Israel. They firstly informed through backdoors the Americans, and then they informed Saudi Arabia, and then they informed several others, which they knew has good contacts with the Americans, and then they started the attack. So the attack was very focused, localized in terms of where it went. It was a fairly significant situation, but the element of surprise was missing. Now the question is, why would they do that? Why on earth would you attack without telling people? When Hamas invaded Israel on this 7th of October event that kick-started this whole issue the last 6 months, they did so without warning. They did not inform anybody. That is classically what happened. So the question here is, what was the purpose of Iran? And then the wider story, Iran is now a new member of BRICS. South Africa is involved, Russia, China, everybody's involved. How does these things link up? And I would say two things about what I've seen over the last 6 months. One is the role of Iran as a regional power, which must not be seen outside that region because it's the only place where they are really an important player. Two, the fact that they are now part of a larger component called BRICS. We're not exactly sure what their role is going to be. And you have mentioned some of the issues that is concerning about Iran, but it also is a concerning fact vis-a-vis China. It's a concerning fact vis-a-vis Putin in Russia. If you look at the democratic values in the BRICS association, there's a few members that really play in that league. For the rest, it's a group of, what shall we call it, the expanded South, which is not necessarily South. There are North, but let's for the moment keep to that word. And I think it's more like a group that is concerned about their role in the global economy rather than the strategic or the military strategic things. It is not something like NATO. It is not something like the Eurozone, where people are using the same currency. It is something completely different. But I think we see them supporting each other at the UN. We see them supporting each other at other forums. And for me, looking at what we have at the moment and looking a little bit forward, South Africa has been chosen to host the G20 summit next year in South Africa. And that is probably going to be a far bigger event than what the BRICS summit was last year. And I know that some departments and some faculties and some countries are already preparing for what is regarded as the main aim for 2025, and that is South Africa's hosting of BRICS. And I think we will also play a very, sensitive role in terms of our relations in what we are seeing happening in the Middle East. We have already done much more than most people thought we would do, and that is by going to the International Court on issues regarding Gaza. But I think we are going to play this one, this event over the last week or so. I think we're going to play it much more safely than to run to the media and to provide us, because we just had, while we're talking about it, we just had a major positive development in the U.S. in that U.S. senators decided not to take South Africa out of AGOA arrangements for next
year. And it really could have gone the other way. It was absolutely possible that it was going the other way. Is that why we saw a nebulous statement from Ramaphosa saying, everybody must de-escalate? Of course, he couldn't help himself but saying, and we mustn't forget this is, to focus on the Palestinians. But the statement around Iran was obviously not one that where he condemned it. But it was pretty mild as far as
mellow, yeah.
Yeah, is would that be the reason? A, because he doesn't want to get back to the potential AGOA issue, and because they have to monitor themselves on the global stage.
Yeah, I think largely so, and you must remember not only that, but we are also. Most politicians at the moment are really looking at any possible opportunity to gain out of any development, whether it's food parcels and whether it's missing girls or whatever, they will jump on every issue. So one would have expected the ANC, for political purposes, to run with this story in the main, but they haven't. They've been very muted on the issue. And I think it has to do with those bigger pictures that is definitely seen by the presidency, I think, far better than what it is seen in Lithuli House. Lithuli House is looking looking around on the ground where they can get 3 or 4 percentage points so that they can get out of the high 30s into the low 40s. I think that is their biggest challenge, and they will go for anything
to try to
get that.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
but back to your question.
Yes.
About sorry for that.
No problem.
Back to your question about how does it fit the BRICS line? Now we know we working with an extended BRICS. We have added interesting countries to BRICS, and it has not yet been sorted out about how BRICS will operate beyond the original 5. Remember, BRICS used to be 4. And then there was a joke that they added the small brick in the wall. That was South Africa. The South African economy is so much smaller than the other 4. And then the expanded BRICS last year, of which Argentina already said, thanks, but no thank you. We're not interested to join this special club. And the interesting part about BRICS, and this is where South Africa also fits in, for China, that is the leading partner in BRICS.
And you know what, unfortunately, Professor, we do need to, we are 3 minutes over time, and as fascinating as this conversation is, I'm unfortunately do need to end it there. We will definitely get you back and hopefully continue that conversation. We were talking to Professor Theo Venter. He's a professor at practice at the College of Business and Economics, University of Johannesburg, political policy analyst.